Blog Talk Radio.
Computer on, all eyes on me. If I catch you looking at anything else, I'm going to beat my ass if I can run away from my head.
Space, the final frontier.
DJ.
Party time.
These are the voyages of the starship
Mele.
Prize. Its 5-year mission to explore.
That good
to seek out
Janu.
New life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no has gone before.
It is time for the hottest show on the internet. It's Wrecking the Game Radio with your host, DJ Smellgood, international
call. Hail, all the way from the Netherlands. Presenting
by United.
Interface complete.
So I was like, what the f***? This ain't a goddamn Wrecking the Game Radio. Yeah, listening to the damn Spanish channel. No, I'm listening to shouts out to 92.5 FMA. Yeah, Rumba. I heard that one. All right, shouts out to that. Out and about, people, you know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Ms. Everland, you sign out there. Riding out with us, you know what I'm saying? Mr. Goofy Bone, Mr. Computer Later, everybody holding down for Wrecking the Game Radio. And happy AfriCon Our Story Month, you know what I'm saying? All my people's out there holding it down worldwide, celebrating this month, you know what I'm saying? AfriCon style. And yeah, I got a little 30-minute update, you know, that's how we do it around her. And welcome to the Starship Smelly Prize. We will be moving, people. You know, this is just temporary. I know y'all are like, geez, man, why you only got 30-minute shows? Well, you know, the powers that be make you move on to get your own luxury. And that's why we moved on. Check us out at www.trilateralradio.com. And if I haven't spelled that out for you before, it's TRILATERAL Radio, trilateralradio.com. And, you know, we got a lot of hot music streaming over there. We're doing test shows currently in test mode, you know, and just taking it one day at a time, people, taking it one day at a time. And, but we are progressing every single day, and coming soon, we're going to be streaming the live goodness. Directly to you, so y'all look out for that. It's going to be real exciting, and yeah, look out for that. So let me do my little ditty thing here, So let me get in and get this party started. Get it started in here. Get it started. Shout out to everybody out there who Wayne, they was going to, they were waiting for me for my birthday on Friday. A lot of I came home Monday morning from weekend with the soulmates. And, yeah, got a lot of people, hey, I thought you were going to be, well, people, every day is a person's birthday. Shit, really? You know, they're alive celebrating, you know what I'm saying? And you know, my homeboy didn't have a problem shooting me. Shouts out to Mitch Millionaire. Shoot me $20, you know what I'm saying? Give me a look. Get your head right, you know what I'm saying, medicine. And, you know, so if you had it then, shit, you should still have it. That's right, you know. You be flawed, you man. Thomas, like, well, I have something. You ain't have shit for me then. But if you had it then, you'll still have it. Because if you had it for me, you should have put the shit to the side, you know what I'm saying? Straight up. But it's all good, all gravy, man. Damn, I should have got me a bill. I forgot to do that little reefer. Little herbal. I gotta go down. Back to the car. I gotta do all that. Let's see. Security detected a potential threat on your computer. Shouts out to Microsoft Security and Essentials. Hello? Oh. Oh, okay. And what the hell? I keep getting this, I got to find out what that is. On these damn web pages, man, when they start to open, I've been getting Microsoft security alerts saying that something's been wrong with the pages, which I can't figure that one out, but alrighty then. And so I haven't, well, and it could be through motherfucking Internet Explorer, because I don't get pop-ups through Mozilla. It only seems when I use Internet Explorer that I get, that I have a problem with the security things popping up. So it's, you know, kind of weird to me. Wow, Mozilla popped up pretty quick. That's new. All right, give me a second, people. Let me get the porn music started. Heavenly Angels, if you already signed in, we won't have any porn music. Okay, so can't do that. And, yeah. And if y'all haven't noticed, you know what I'm saying, we done switched up the good old logo. Representing Trilateral Radio Commission Network at trilateralradio.com. Wow, this looks very enlarged. Yeah. I had a cool show yesterday, people. Make sure y'all run back these little 30-minute shows. Give y'all 30 minutes, you know what I'm saying, just some quick education for the African History Month. And, yeah, you know, make sure y'all go and check that out. We have good information. Talk about African drumming and stuff like that, African drums, the origins, and, you know, a little discussion, you know what I'm saying, in regards to that. So, what the hell is that? Oh, that's just my cell phone. That might just be my phone. I tell you what, people. Hold on. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and play Goofy Bone. New song. We'll get right back at it. Y'all, hold on.
Sorry. I've got sex on my mind. You know what? You're so fucking hot. You're turning me on. I've always wanted to fuck you. And here's my chance.
Baby girl, you must understand. I could never be your man. I'm just here to be your bone. Giving you something to moan. Hoping that you like it thick. Trust me, baby, I'll bust them lips. Get you nasty, ready to dance. At the end, I wanna be in your pants. Back at my pad, you sing it slow. Positions are nice where you don't wanna go. To strangers that are getting freaky. I feel like a plumber, fixing this leaky. Put it in the hole like Tiger Woods. Watching this girl just feel so good. She's falling in love, but I think it's too quick. Cause I'm not a boyfriend, I'm just her. A big plate, so we talking about our bullshit lives. After the meal, we go for a drive. We smoking on a big ass blunt. She's looking at me like she wants some, so I pass it to her. Welcome to my land. She got so high where she couldn't even land. Laying on the back with her feet in the air, like a naughty vixen. The girl didn't care. Let me hit it all kinds of ways. Sweating like thugs trying to run away from the law, cause you know what we doing is a crime. But let me hit that one more time. She gotta get going. Her husband's at home. Cause I'm not a boyfriend, I'm just
just
is really going on, man? What the f*** is really going on? Give her a bow, a bow. Uh-oh. I hear the kitties.
Yes, you do. I'm out and about.
Oh, I was out and about. I wonder where you was at, you know? Couldn't get nothing started up in here.
I called a few minutes ago, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was out and about. How you gonna be out and about? I'm out and about.
There was a lot of static on the phone when I called.
Yeah, well, no, that was because I was on my cell phone, so I had to hang up and then call back.
Oh, yeah,
that
was really soft.
The mother phone.
I thought maybe it was my phone or something, so I
called
back.
Nah, I knew it was. This piece of crap.
Hey, but it's at least you can make a call.
Yeah, well, not necessarily all the time. I mean, I go to my homeboy house, and I lose all kind of reception. He'll, you know, depending on what building you're in, you know what I'm saying? And it depends on where I be riding at, because sometimes I be riding and I just, it just cut off, you know what I'm saying? I guess
yeah.
I'm on a 1G network. I'm on a damn 1G.
What's on the agenda today?
Honoring the Black History Month Great Accomplishments by African Americans. We're on AssociatedContent.com. And, this is according to them. It says, it should not be that we have to set aside 1 month to honor some of America's best and brightest just because of the color of their skin. But Black History Month is both a testament of where we have been and will perhaps in time become unnecessary as the achievements, history, and culture of all Americans is honored every month of every day of every year. But until such time, it is appropriate that we take time to reflect on the contributions, innovations, and work of African Americans throughout American history. And this is but a brief glimpse into a race filled with genius, creativity, talent, and good old American know-how. And you may find a new hero among the following great African Americans. And a little knowledge about, you know, a few folks you've never heard of. Yeah. Let's get right into it, people. Get right into it. Benjamin Banneker leads the top, who contributed largely in the field of mathematics and astronomy. And these are just brief little things of what they actually did. You want to find out more largely, you could probably go to Wikipedia or something like that. Type in Benjamin Banneker, B-A-N-N-E-K-E-R, and you'll find more information on that hero. Also, you have Otis Boykin, who invented 28 electronic devices. His devices control such things as computers, guided missiles, and pacemakers. Yeah, I think that is somebody that you probably want to be looking up. Also, we already, huh?
I said that's very interesting.
Yeah, 28 devices. Actually, let me do this up real quick. Hold on. For Mr. Otis. See what you got there, brother. I just want to see some of the devices that he actually created. And let's see. And you can go. He has his own website. Oh, actually, this is at blackinventor.com. And look for Otis Boykin, which is Boykin Otis. If you look on the side, it has a lot of inventors. And let's see. He was born August 29, 1920 in Dallas, Texas. After graduating high school, he went to Fisk College in Nashville, Tennessee. Graduated in 1941, took a job as a laboratory assistant with the Majestic Radio and TV Corporation of Chicago, Illinois, where he undertook various tasks but excelled at testing automatic aircraft controls, ultimately serving as a supervisor. 3 years later, he left Majestic and took a position as research engineer with the P.J. Nielsen Research Laboratories, and soon thereafter, he decided to try to develop a business on his own and founded Boykin Fruth Incorporated. At the same time, he decided to continue his education,
pursuing graduate studies at Illinois Institute of Technology in Chicago, Illinois, and he attended classes in, okay, but that doesn't tell me what he invented. That's what I want to know. Let's see. Oh, I hate these phones, man. I got to tighten up and get some new phones. Cause these suck. Freaking suck! Yeah, let's just... I don't know. That might be your phone with all the air in it. I don't know. It might be me. I don't know. I hear a lot of air. Oh, okay. It couldn't have been you.
No, because can you hear me now?
I don't know what happened.
I went by the airport and it cut me off.
Oh, yeah, that would do it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see
what I missed.
Let's see. Okay. Mr. Boykin, despite the setback, Boykin realized that a master's degree was not a prerequisite for inventive competence, so he set out to work on a project that he had contemplated while in school. At the time, the field of electronics was very popular among the science community, and Boykin took a special interest in working with resistors. A resistor is an electronic component that slows the flow of an electronic current. This is necessary to prevent too much electricity from passing through a component than is necessary or even safe. Boykin sought and received a patent for a wire precision resistor on June 16, 1959. This resistor allowed for specific amounts of current to flow through for a specific purpose and would be used in radios and television. 2 years later, he created another resistor that could be manufactured very inexpensively, and it was a breakthrough device that is, as it could withstand extreme changes in temperature and tolerate and withstand various levels of pressure and physical trauma without impairing its effectiveness. The chip was cheaper and more reliable than the others on the market. Not surprisingly, it was in great demand as he received orders from consumer electronic manufacturers, the United States military, and electronic behemoth IBM. And do you see IBM doing anything in relation to Black History Month? Hell fucking no. Do you see the United States military doing anything in relation to Black History Month? Hell fucking no.
Wow, yeah, I never knew that.
You know, and that you know, I'm not saying that's a problem, but that to me is miseducation of the people. Since we have so many people that come here, and you give us information about the people that you select, that is very one-sided in the whole scheme of this American dream that we're supposed to be living in. You know, being one-sided is that short stops people on their achievement coming to this country. It don't matter if you were Black, white, Arabian, Indian, or whatever. You know, if you came to this country, you did something that was noteworthy, people of this country should know about it. You know, not know about the improvement that was made, the refurbished improvement. We don't want to know about that. 1964, he moved to Paris, created electronic innovations for a new market of customers. Most of these creations involved electrical resistant components, including small component thick film resistors used in computers and variable resistors used in guided missile systems. But he also created other important products, including a chemical air filter and a burglar-proof cash register. Yeah.
So why
the fuck the banks keep getting robbed? I don't know. But there is a burglar-proof cash register that, hey, exists. His most famous invention, however, was a control unit for the pacemaker, which used electrical impulses to stimulate the heart and create a steady heartbeat. In a tragic irony, Boykin died in 1982 as a result of heart failure. Wow.
Wow.
Otis Boykin proved that the setback of having to drop out of school was not enough to deter him from his dream of becoming an innovator and having a long-lasting effect on the world. And you definitely do, because I've never heard of that, never knew that, and wow.
Wow is right. Wow.
Thank you, Mr. Otis Boykin. Man, if it weren't for him, you sons of bitches be dying out here right now without your little goddamn pacemaker. And do the pacemaker companies.
My grandfather had one.
Yeah, so do the pacemaker companies, you know what I'm saying, have anything to do with Black History Month? Do you see a commercial honoring Otis Boykin?
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? Thank you for creating the pacemaker. No, you don't see that. That there in itself is a tragedy, people. Doesn't matter if he was a black man or a white man. Because of that accomplishment, he saved and continues to save millions of lives on a daily basis.
Yeah.
That is
even
honorable.
Babies have had pacemakers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is honorable. You know what I'm saying? And for you not to honor a person like that, that is another tragedy. We've
You're
already talked about
right now.
Yeah, you know that, you know, in this little 30-minute segment, but don't worry, people, full vindication will be given. George Washington Carver, who we already discussed, invented over 400 products with peanuts. Carver's, yeah, I didn't even know it was 400. Yeah, I didn't know it was 400. Damn.
Wow. I thought he just made peanut butter.
You know, how much can you do with peanut butter? Damn.
Well, you know, peanut, you can do a whole lot with, you know, make a whole bunch of stuff. But I don't know.
Howard's work literally saved the South by providing an alternative cash crop when the boll weevil moved in and destroyed cotton crops. And boll weevil was a little insect that got onto all the crops back in the day and started destroying the cotton fields. And it didn't have insect treatment in order to treat it. Damn. George Washington Carver, thank you for saving the South. Do they motherfucking give any props to him? Hell to the no. I ain't seen a McDonald's commercial or anybody else that honored him. You know?
Yeah.
And they damn sure want to put fucking Michael Jordan bullshit ass or, you know, which I ain't saying is bullshit, but sports is nothing, it's not significant. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's insignificant. So when you talk about Jesse Owens and all these sports figures, that to me is not impressive. You know, I appreciate them for breaking records and doing all that, showing that, you know, we are
king-ding-a-ling
swing when it comes to athletics. But that doesn't describe black people, you know what I'm saying? And that's what they put in the face of America. Oh, yeah, they're good athletes, but they're not smart.
Yeah.
Come on. We got Dr. Charles Richard Drew, who contributed the study of blood plasma and set up the first blood bank, which I did read that before. I've actually covered that. We also have Lonnie G. Johnson, who made an important contribution to the lives of children everywhere. He invented the Super Soaker water gun. Yes, people. All the goddamn Toys R Us fucking commercials that don't honor Lonnie G. Johnson, the black man who invented the Super Soaker, so all you sons of bitches can run out there and shoot each other up. Yeah, I've never seen him get any kind of contribution or thank you from Toys R Us, Fisher Price, or anybody else who done stole his invention and is making a killing off of it. All right, but we keep moving on. Louis Latimer, who invented the carbon filament common in light bulbs. Latimer worked in the shops of both Thomas Edison and Alexander Graham Bell.
Uh-huh, and he's probably the one who invented it.
Invented it. And then, you know, they took it and then put their old... Oh, yeah, we hooked a key to a goddamn kite. Man, get the fuck out of here, man. Fuck out of here. Goddamn. Bitches, people. God, this is the fucking lie that I've learned in school. This idiot goes out and flies a fucking kite.
Yeah.
Man, I got to look up who
he
is.
There.
You know, that's not even going there. Keep it moving.
Really, that's a way. We need to give the black people.
Man. Robert H. Lawrence Jr. was the first black astronaut. Yes, we have had black folks in space.
Yeah, I knew that.
Since the beginning. Thurgood Marshall, which most people, which they do teach you this, was the first black Supreme Court justice. And it's funny, you know what I'm saying? They teach about motherfucking people who can bam your ass behind closed doors, but they don't teach you anything else. You know? Currently, Clarence Thomas serves on the Supreme Court. That is not anything mentionable. Clarence Thomas was the crackhead who got busted on camera. But hey, good old New York reelected a crackhead.
I go there now. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. That was New York, right? Was that New York or Washington?
Huh?
Was that New York or Washington?
Washington.
Oh, my bad. I tried to blame it on New York. Yeah, you guys were the culprits for that, weren't you? Thank you for hiring Crackhead Thomas. Oh, I mean Clarence Thomas for the second term. Oh, yeah.
Hey, now we're lifting people up here. Come on.
Yeah, well, you know, but Clarence Thomas just could have did a lot better with the position that he was in. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he is a man now, so let's not go there.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. Then you have Jan Ernst Matziliger, Matziliger, who was relative unknown to most Americans. Invented a shoemaking machine that increased the shoe production rates by 900%.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I ain't never heard of no damn rates increasing that much. So basically, if it wasn't for him, sons of bitches wouldn't be even have no goddamn shoes in mass production. Thanks, Jan. Let's see that. If she's on here, let's see if they have Jan on here. Jan, Matt, yeah, there we go. Matt, okay, and that is a male. Okay, all right. I thought it was a guy, but Jan is a male. He's the man who made it possible for ordinary citizens to purchase shoes. Yeah, Jan Matziliger was born in Dutch Guiana, which is now known as Suriname, and South America. His father was a Dutch engineer, and his mother was born in Dutch Guiana and was of African ancestry. His father had been sent to Suriname by the Dutch government to oversee the work going on in the South American country. Shouts out to the Dutch.
What year does it say?
This was in... Oh, they didn't give a year for that. But at an early age, he showed a remarkable ability to repair complex machinery and often did so when accompanying his father to a factory. When he turned 19, he decided to venture away from home to explore other parts of the world. And for 2 years, he worked aboard an East Indian merchant ship and was able to visit several countries. 1873, he decided to stay in the United States for a while, landing in Pennsylvania. And although he spoke very little English, he was befriended by some black residents who were active in their local church and took pity on him. Because he was good with his hands and mechanically inclined, he was able to get small jobs in order to earn a living. At some point, he began working for a cobbler and began interested in making of shoes. At the time, more than half of the shoes produced in the United States came from the small town of Lynn, Massachusetts. Still unable to speak more than rudimentary English, Matziliger had a difficult time finding work in Lynn. After considerable time, he was able to begin working as a shoe apprentice in a shoe factory. He operated a McKay sole sewing machine, which was used to attach different parts of a shoe together. Unfortunately, no machines existed that could attach the upper part of a shoe to the sole. As such, attaching the upper part of a shoe to the sole had to be done by hand. The people who were able to sew the parts of the shoe together were called hand lasters, and expert ones were able to produce about 50 pairs of shoes in a 10-hour workday. They were held in high esteem and were able to charge a high price for their services, especially after they banded together and formed a union called the Company of Shoemakers. Because the hand lasters were able to charge so much money, a pair of shoes was very expensive to purchase. Hand lasters were confident that they would continue to be able to demand high sums of money for their services, saying, "No matter if the sewing machine is a wonderful machine, No man can build a machine that will last shoes and take away the job of elaster, unless he can make a machine that has fingers like a elaster, and that is impossible. Jan Matzlinger decided they were wrong. After working all day, Matzlinger took classes at night to learn English. Soon he was able to read well enough to study books on physics and mechanical science. This enabled him to a number of inventions. Lacking sufficient money, he was able to patent these inventions and watch helplessly as other people claimed to have created the devices and received the financial rewards they brought, which that's what America does right now. Matzlinger did not despair over these situations because he was already thinking of a more important invention, the shoe laster. And watching hand lasters all day, Matzlinger began understanding how they are able to join the upper parts of a shoe to the sole. At night, he set devising methods for imitating the mannerisms of the hand lasters and sketched out rough drawings of a machine that might work in the same manner. Soon, he began putting together a crude working model of his invention. Lacking the proper materials, he used whatever scraps he could find, including cigar boxes, discarded pieces of wood, scrap wire, nails, and paper. After 6 months, he felt he was on the right track, but he knew he needed better materials in order to take it to the next step. Although he attempted to keep his invention a secret, people found out, including the expert hand lasters he was trying to compete with. These people criticized and ridiculed him and tried to dissuade him pursuing his goal. He considered, however, and decided to try to raise money in order to improve his working model. He was offered $50 to sell the device he had created up to that point, but turned that down, thank you, knowing that if people were interested in buying, he was on the right goddamn track. And that is, man, that is so instrumental, because stupid motherfuckers today, you know, our black radio stations, they get the damn radio stations up and get like, you know, a bunch of listeners, and then turn around and sell the damn station. You know what I'm saying? And really screw a legacy of a real legacy that could have been left to your family. As he improved the device, other offers of money came in, some as high as $1,500. Metzliger could not bear to be part with the device he had put so much work into creating, so he held out until he reached a deal to sell a 66% interest in the devices to two investors, retaining the other third in interest for himself. With the new influx of cash, Jan finished his second and third models of the machine. At this point, he applied for a patent for the device. And because no one could believe that anyone could create a machine which could duplicate the work of expert lasters, the patent office dispatched a representative to Lynn, Massachusetts to see the device in action. In March 1883, the United States Patent Office issued a patent to Jan Matzlinger for his lasting machine, and within 2 years, I hear my phone ringing, and it's my girl calling. She's calling at 12:30. Okay. I'm sorry, bro. No, I'm on the radio, woman. Give me just a second. I have to finish this up. Within 2 years, he had perfected the machine to the point that it could produce up to 700 pairs of shoes each day, as compared to 50 per day for a hand laster. And sadly, Matzlinger would only enjoy his success for a short time, as he was afflicted with tuberculosis in 1886 and died on August 24, 1889, at the age of 37. As a result of his work, shoe manufacturing capabilities increased, as did efficiency, and this allowed for lower prices for consumers and more jobs for workers. And Matzlinger left behind a legacy of tackling what was thought to be an impossible task, making shoes affordable for the masses. And this is what I'm saying, people. This is the significance of Black History Month, because you all need to understand that we helped shape this great country and make it affordable. We didn't sit up here and try to, you know, keep all the fucking shit for ourselves like motherfuckers do nowadays, you know, and continue to try to keep you broke pocketed, you know. And this is why we've developed these devices, to help the American people. It had nothing to do with just black people. It was American people. We believe in the American dream. No, not the black American or the African American or the Negro American or any kind of BS like that. We believe in the dream of that every other person shared on this planet, and that was just being free. You had Hattie McDaniel, who was the first African American to win an Oscar for her role in Gone with the Wind. Congratulations on that. Also, Garrett Morgan, who invented the gas mask and the first traffic light. We got to get into that. Also, PBS Pinchback was the first appointed governor of Louisiana, and while impeachment proceedings were held against Louisiana's then current governor. Wow. Let me check on Garrett Morgan. That was a question that was brought up. And he is highlighted. Please, people, go to blackinventor.com and look on the left underneath inventors. And it's a long list of people. People, just do me a favor. You know, in celebration of this month, just do me a favor and educate yourself. So when people come and tell you something, you just know a little bit about the original origin of it. You know, I don't care if you still want to keep the fact that, you know, IBM or fucking Microsoft, you know, invented the computer. But as long as you know the true source, so even if your kids come along one day, you can actually, you know, regurgitate the truth. Not from what you was told, but the actual truth that needs to be told in order to continue a correct history or our story. And that is so just detrimental, people. We need that. And please step up and go and check that out. You know, Garrett Morgan is one of those rare people who are able to come up with an extraordinary invention and has a tremendous impact on society and then follows up with even more. Garrett Morgan was born on March 4, 1877 in Paris, Kentucky, the seventh of 11 children born to Sydney, beautiful name, and Elizabeth Morgan. Garrett, at the early age of 14, decided that he could travel north to Ohio in order to receive a better education. He moved to Cincinnati and then to Cleveland. Shouts out to Miss Computer Lady, working as a handyman in order to make ends meet. In Cleveland, he learned the inner workings of the sewing machine, and in 1907 opened his own sewing machine store, selling new machines and repairing old ones. Hold on, we got a few more minutes, people. We're gonna got a few more minutes, then we're gonna try to keep this. And 1907 opened his own sewing machine store, selling new machines and repairing old ones. 1908, Morgan married Mary Ann Hassock, with whom he would have three sons. 1909, Morgan opened a tailoring shop, selling coats, suits, and dresses. And while working in the shop, he came upon a discovery which brought about his first invention. He noticed that the needle of a sewing machine moved so fast that its friction often scorched the thread of the woolen material. He thus set out to develop a liquid that would provide a useful polish to the needle, reducing friction. When his wife called him to dinner, he wiped the liquid from his hands onto a piece of pinafore cloth. When he returned to his workshop, he saw that the fibers on the cloth were now standing straight up. He theorized that the fluid had actually straightened the fibers, and in order to confirm his theory, he decided to apply some of the fluid to the hair of the neighbor's dog in Airedale. The fluid straightened the dog's hair so much, the neighbor, not recognizing his own pet, chased the animal away. Morgan then decided to try the fluid on himself, to small portions of his head first, and then to his entire head. He was successful and had invented the first human hair straightener. He marketed the product under the name G.A. Morgan Hair Refining Cream and sold by his G.A. Morgan Refining Company, which became a very successful business. 1912, Morgan invented another invention much different from his hair straightener. Morgan called it a safety hood and patented it as a breathing device, but the world came to know it as a gas mask. The safety hood consisted of a hood worn over the head of a person from which emanated a tube which reached near the ground and allowed in clean air. The bottom of the tube was lined with a sponge-type material that would help to filter the incoming air. Another tube existed with which allowed the user to exhale air out of the device Morgan intended the device to be used to provide a portable attachment which will enable a fireman to enter a house filled with thick suffocating gases and smoke to breathe freely for some time therein, thereby enable him to perform his duties of saving life and valuables without endangering himself from suffocation. This device is also efficient and useful for protection of engineers, chemists, and working men who are obliged to breathe noxious fumes or dust derived from the materials in which they are obliged to work. The National Safety Device Company, with Morgan and its general manager, was set up to manufacture and sell the device, and it was demonstrated at various exhibitions across the country. And the device won a first prize, and Morgan was awarded a gold medal. And while demonstration was good for sales, the true test of the product would come only under real circumstances. There was an explosion that occurred at a tunnel under Lake Erie by the Cleveland Water Works. The tunnel quickly filled with smoke, dust, and poisonous gas, and it trapped 32 workers underground. They were feared lost because no means of safely entering and rescuing them was known. Fortunately, someone at the scene remembered about Morgan's invention and ran to call him at his home, where he was relaxing. Garrett and his brother Frank quickly arrived at the scene, donned the safety hood, and entered the tunnel. After a heart-wrenching delay, Garrett appeared from the tunnel carrying a survivor on his back, as did his brother seconds later. The crowd erupted in a staggering applause, and Garrett and Frank re-entered the tunnel, this time joined by the other two other men. They were unable to save all of the workers, but they were able to rescue many who would otherwise have certainly died. In reaction to Morgan's device and his heroism, quickly spread across the city and country as newspapers picked up on the story. Morgan received a gold medal and from a Cleveland citizens group, as well as a medal from the International Association of Fire Engineers, which also made him an honorary member. Now, while fire people don't, wave Morgan flags, it is all good because the life-saving device was created by a black man. Nonetheless, with the outbreak of World War I and the use of poisonous gases therein, Morgan's safety hood is now known as the gas mask and was utilized by the United States Army and saved the lives of thousands of soldiers. I mean, come on, people. I mean, there's so much on here, I can't even read it in the last 2 minutes. I mean, Jesus, people. They gave this man $40 million, and he became the standard across the country. Today, that gets into the traffic light. He relied, one day he witnessed a traffic accident when an automobile collided with a horse and carriage, and this is a story I remember. The driver of the automobile was not unconscious and the horse had to be destroyed. He set out to develop a means of automatically directing traffic without the need of a policeman or worker present. He patented an automatic traffic signal, which he said could be operated for directing the flow of traffic and providing a clear and ambiguous visible indicator. Satisfied with his efforts, Morgan sold the rights to the device to GE, General Electric Company, for the outstanding sum of $40,000, and it became the standard across the country. Today's modern traffic lights are based upon Morgan's original design. The first traffic light, people, right here in America. So not across the world, but, of course, right here in America. And, of course, we created the first light, period, which that dates all the way back to ancient Egypt. So if you don't believe me, goddammit,